Okay. So the one thing which we didn't have a chance to finish up about the Shomrim before we move on in the Gemara is is Tosos de Ramaskal Mesa. Tosos de Ramaskal Mesa in Chayavin Ba'untzim. Right, let's review the case that we have. These Yisomim, they inherited from their father, and the Parash Ula, and so they have the best of both worlds. They inherited the right to use it from their father, but they do not have to pay. Okay, that goes into the two Lashonos here. Either they don't have to pay regardless, if you hold, like the other Rishonim, that that the Chiyuv is only Mishas Ones, or if you hold like the Rambam, then, and the Lashonakama, then they don't have to pay if they didn't inherit any real estate. So, Tosa says, Mesa in Chayim Ba'onsim, Aval Gneva Aveda, Nira Lari Shein Chayavin. They're not Chayim in Onsim, but they are Chayim in Gneva Aveda. They are like Shomer Sachar. Right? The whole Venenim, the Mishtam Shemba, whole Venenim, because they're Nehne. Vahachi, Amar Behashoel, Bamatsia Daf Tsadi Vav Amar Aleph. I'm not exactly sure what they meant by Bamatsia Daf Tsadi Vav Amar Aleph. Most of the acronym assume it should say, like the boxes here. Behaumden, is a better mucker. But we find in Bamatsia, in a few places in Bamatsia, a concept called Hoel Venene Mehane. Hoel Venene Mehane. For example, in Bav Metzia, as the Bach points out here, as I go, Daf Pei Aleph Amud Aleph, the Gemara discusses a Shoel after the time ends. Right? I borrowed something 30 days, and now it's the 31st day, and you haven't picked it up yet. Or I haven't sent it to you yet. So what does it say here? It says here, Avalachi Mishel to Potter, once the time ends on Potter from Onsim, yeah, I'm not allowed to use it anymore, right? It's day 31, I'm not allowed to use it anymore. So I'm Potter from Onsim, and, Iboilu, Potter, Shol, Bechai, Shomer Sacher, or Dilma, Shomer Sacher, Nami, Lohar. Am I Potter, Legamre, or am I Potter from Onsim, Bechai, Shomer Sacher, or Abai, Mistab, or Potter, Mishel, Bechai, Shomer Sacher, hold it, Hane. A Shoel when the time's up, his potter from Onsim, b'chayiv is a shomer sacher. Why? Since he was nene, that he borrowed it, even though right now he can't use it, but therefore he has to give some hana, and he has to agree to be chayiv at least in the name of Abed. We find a similar idea in Bav Metzia Daf Mem Gimel Amud Aleph. There it's like, I mean, it's talking about a little bit, not exactly a shoel, but close enough. There it says that it's talking about a shoel before the time of She'ela. What's it talking about? I give money in, they didn't have banks in those days, they had shulchanis, guys who were like banks. I give him money to watch, so the assumption is, if I give him money tied up in a bag, then he's not allowed to touch it. If I give him money in an open bag, then if he wants to, he's allowed to use this money. So, not that he's allowed to show all the money, he's allowed to be lover the money. But the same thing, he's allowed to borrow the money. So what if he borrows the money, he's of course chai for it. What if he hasn't borrowed the money yet? So, it says here, Amrli Rav Lev Nachli, Yidach Amr Nansu Lo, Amud Lo, Vishol Lo, Vishol Lo, Havishol Masak, Nami Lo, Havi, Amr Lev Havim, Adina Lo, Tov, Manana, Mahana. Right, Rav Nachli says, if he hasn't yet borrowed it, then he's not a shoel. But he is a shomer sachar. Since he gets hana that he could use it if he needed to. Therefore, he is a shomer sachar, and that's what he explains. Okay, the hana that he could use him if he wants to makes him a shomer sachar. Basically, what do the principles seem to be? These are all people who are not exactly shoels. Either it's after a shoel, or it's a potential shoel. Someday, you used to be a shoel, or maybe you will be a shoel, but since you get hana from having your friend's property, therefore you're chayiv as a, you're chayiv as a shomer sachar. So too Tosa says here. You're right, they're not actually shoel, they're not chayiv onsim, because their father agreed to be chayiv onsim, not then. But nonetheless, since they're nana, because they get to use it for free, therefore, they should be hana. They should at least be chayim gneiv aveda like a shomer sachar. The logic seems to be l'chora. They're getting schar, right? they have Gidon's cow, and they're getting started. They're getting free usage of a cow. So fine, they're not Sho'alim, they're not having Onsim, but they should at least be Chayav Gnei Aveda as a Shomer Sachar. This is the opinion of many Rishonim. If you ask in this case, what's the Chiyav of the Yisomim? What does the Gemara say? They're Potter Me Onsim. What Chiyav do they have? So there are three Shitas. One, it's not in order, is Tosos. Likewise, the Rashba concludes this. And likewise, the Rashba quotes in the Raivin. Rabbi Kamu concludes this, that Chayavim Bigneva Va'aveda, based on the principle of Hovel V'nene Mehane. Okay, who disagrees? Who says they're Potter Legamre?
Right.
No.
No,
I think the Raivid agrees. And you're misled by the Lashon of the Rashba. First it goes, the Raivid says, they're Potter Monson Legamri, Potter Legamri. That means Potter Monson. Then he quotes the Raivid, who clarified, the Chayim Gnei Aveda. It is the Ramban, right? The Raivid never said anything of the sort. I don't think so. It's definitely the Ramban, correct, not here. No one here actually takes them on this. The Lashon, I understand what might have misled you. The Lashon of the Raivid here is, Perish Raivid, Avish Mishtam Shemosh, Lo Kibbalim, Chovaviyam, they're totally Potter. That should mean my Onsim. The Raivid says later, he says, what does he quote later? He quotes later, he says, if I can find where he quotes it later, V'chim Atzasi the Raivid, Zal Atzman, Shekotzim, Bavakama, that the Chayim Gnei Aveda.
This is the Raivid in Bavakama. As opposed to the Ramban in, where is this, in Bava Metzia?
This Ramban? The Ramban in Bava Metzia, yeah. Who says, nope, Piturim Ligamre. Okay, what does the Ramban do? That's not his real discussion in Bava Metzia, right? It's a total Agav Orcha. That's not it. This is the Ramban in Sadi Vavam Beis. Yes, it's a total lack of orcha. He's talking about a husband who marries a woman who has borrowed something and now that comes under into his household. But he quotes as just an example of Arezeka Usa Shamru. What does he think? He thinks the husband who now gets this borrowed item into his household is not chayiv in anything. Why? He says, "Vary the kosh shamru b'niach lemevim parshu ulemishnatu kol yimishelta meisen chayim ba'un sehat da amri avani yorish mrosu inu shomer." It's like this case. They say we inherited our father, but we don't have to do any shmira. Doshibin nichasim b'shmira el shishmer hu atzmo. The father only agreed and only committed himself that he would be a shomer. He never said we have to do anything. Hilka paturim afilu pashu. They're pater even on pshia. They are paturim legamre. Right. For sure they're Pachim Pirim Gnei Aveda. Even on Pshia, they are Pturim Legamri according to the Ramban. What does the Ramban do with Hol Benen and Mahaneh? Isn't that a principle they quoted from Shas, from Bava Metzia? What about the principle Hol Benen and Mahaneh? If they have Hana'ah, they have to be Shomer Sachar. What does the Ramban think about that principle? Isn't that a principle, Hol Benen and Mahaneh?
But they didn't get Hana'ah.
What do you mean they didn't get Hana'ah? They get to use this cow.
They get to use the cow, but they didn't use it.
First of all, we know in Bava Metzia Daf Mem Gimel, even if you could potentially use something that's called Hana'ah. But second of all, let's say they did use it. I think he says, Yimishtavshim Bukhul Yimishelta. They sound like even if they use it. So, why have the whole Vanana Mahana? Why isn't he impressed by that argument? It's hard to tell, that's not his main point. Right? Why isn't he impressed by whole Vanana Mahana?
You could say that who are you Nana from? They're probably Nana from their father, who was Nana from them. They don't have a direct Hana'ah back to the original owner.
Aha, interesting, meaning they're not nen, meaning it's not that the guy gave them any Hana'ah, their father gave them Hana'ah. The guy gave it to their father, fine, their father's chayav, that's not their problem, and their father gave it to them. I hadn't thought of that.
Whose property is it? The property of the Mashiach.
Right, they're definitely getting Hana'ah from his property, but he didn't give it to them.
They took away from him rights.
Okay, that's a good answer. What does he do with? What's the proof? The proof is Hoel v'nehene mehane, which is found in Bava Metzia. Hey, Aleph, I'm an Aleph, and Gimor, I'm an Aleph, via the Amudim, right? I think so. What does the Ramban do with this proof?
How does the Ramban answer the proof?
So Morty had a good taina. Hol v'nena mahan is it? The guy decided to give you hana. You owe him something in exchange. Here, the guy never gave him anything. The guy gave it to their father, and they happened to inherit it. So they don't owe him anything in exchange.
So, maybe you could say, here, the owner didn't give them hana. Their father did.
So they indirectly got hana from him, but maybe that's not called hol v'nena mahana. Doesn't mean if I end up getting hana from your property indirectly. It means if you give me the hana, then I owe you something in exchange. If you didn't give it to me, I just got it in a roundabout way, then I don't owe you anything in exchange. I thought another way to answer for the Ramban could be, which is going to be somewhat similar, is that in all the cases of hol v'nena mahana, I agreed to be a shomer for you. I agreed to watch your property, right? Just, we don't know if I'm shomer chinam or shomer sakar or what kind of shomer, right? In the case of I borrowed something and the time is up, I agreed to watch your thing. In the case where I took your money, right? You gave me your money back, a money back for safekeeping. I agreed to keep an eye on your money back. I agreed to be a shomer. We just don't know if I'm shomer chinam, shomer sakar, what kind of shomer. So shomer. Then obviously, okay, if you get hana, then you're a shomer sakar. Over here, the kids never agreed to be a shomer. Right? Kids said they never agreed to be a shomer. So maybe you could say that here, the yorshim never to be a shomer, unlike the cases of hol v'nena mahane, I agreed to be a shomer. I just don't know what level of shmira. Ah, so I don't know exactly what kind of shmira. I'm in the parsha of shomer. Hol v'nena mahane, if you're in the parsha of shomer and you have anah, you're a shomer socher. Here, they never agreed to be in the parsha of shomer in the first place. They just inherited this. They just inherited this from their father. If they never agreed to be in the parsha of the shomer in the first place, there's no principle that someone who never agreed to enter the parsha of shomer is a shomer sachar. It's only someone who agreed to enter the parsha of shomer. Meaning, it's very logical. V'nena mahana. I'm in the parsha of shomer. I just don't know what kind. So hol v'nena mahana, shomer sachar. Here, they're not in the parsha of shomer in the first place.
So you have an enormous gap between the Ramban and Tosfot.
Yes.
It's mikatzeh lekatzeh.
No, it's not mikatzeh lekatzeh, because they could be the Rav Bezdin and be more kitzoni than Tosfot. But it's definitely seems to be mikatzeh. The Ramban says I'm patur even from Shia.
Yeah.
Tosfot says I'm chayv even gnei v'aveda.
There is
something more kitzoni.
It's like Tosfot saying there is Shia from the outset.
Right. Now, the one thing I guess I would point out about that is, well, there are two things I think we have to point out. Number one is, you could go back and forth forever. Okay, then what are the Tosos and the Rashba and the Raivin think? Basically, the Machlokas is, they think hol v'nena mahane is an absolute rule. If you get hana, if you have, not you were given, but you have hana from someone, then you are shomer sachar. The Ramban thinks it's not an absolute rule. Maybe it's only if you agreed to be a shomer. Or the way Morty said, it's only if you had a personal relationship that you got hana from him. What is the yesod of the machlokas? Here, it's hard to say for sure, but maybe you could say the yesod of the machlokas is a chakira that we mentioned last time, which is, are chiyuv and shomer something you accept upon yourself, or something that that the Torah imposes upon you? I'm not saying for sure. I'm not saying for sure, but maybe you could see it that way. Maybe this is speculation. If you say that the chiyuv shmira are gzeiras hakasov, then Tosfos and the Rashba and the Raivin makes more sense. After all, what is the Torah's gzeiras hakasov? You are have someone else's property, and you're getting a benefit from it. You owe them at least to be a shomer sachar. Then here also it would seem to be that you have someone else's property, you're benefiting from it. maybe the Torah begoes it your Shomer Sachar. On the other hand, maybe the Rambam would make more sense if you say Yuvei Shmira R A Hischayv Midas, something the person accepts on itself, then you could say, either like Morty said, if you give me Hana'ah, then I'll give you something in exchange. If I just end up with Hana'ah, then I won't give you something in exchange. Who, I have no relationship with you. Basically, Morty and I are saying similar things. I have no relationship with you. Either because the Hana'ah didn't come from you, it came from someone else, or because I never agreed to enter a relationship with you. If I have no relationship with you, then maybe I was never mekabelit on myself in the first place. So it's not mokrach to say this way. After all, you could say they're both Mechzeres Agassim. They just argue about exactly when Mechzeres Agassim applies. Or you could say they're both Mechzeres Agassim. And they argue about what an average person thinks, how nice an average person is. So you can for sure say, they're both about what I agree, they argue about how nice people are in their minds and the umdun of what an average person agrees. Say they're both Mechzeres Agassim, they argue about how strict the Torah was in this Mechzeres Agassim. But it could be that, certainly, at first glance it looks like, if you're looking at it as the situation the Torah evaluates, the situation the Torah evaluates is the whole Vanan and Mahana. If you're looking at it as what you had in mind, you could say, here, what do I have in mind? I have no relationship with this guy. I never agreed to do anything for him. I never got anything from him. I just coincidentally got something of his from someone else. Why should I have a relationship with this guy? Asher, but not Mocher. Okay, that's the first machlokas we have here. The second machlokas we have here is the Rav HaBezdin. The Rav HaBezdin is interesting. He's a third shita, right? You think Tosos says Kitzuni as it gets. What's the Rav HaBezdin say? Quoting the Rashba. Who's the Rav HaBezdin, by the way? Didn't we just mention him the other day? The Rav HaBezdin? He was, right, he's the father-in-law of the famous Ravid. Meaning the Ravid who's quoted there in number one, his father-in-law is also Ravid. But to distinguish, they called his father-in-law the Rav HaBezdin. Didn't we just mention him recently?
Yeah, Rav HaBezdin. Yes.
Oh, thank you. Exactly. Precisely. What is the third shita of the Rav HaBezdin?
They don't have to use it in their chayiv.
That the chayiv in? How much?
Everything.
No, chayiv in onsen. Says the Rav HaBezdin, even chayiv in onsen. Says the Rav HaBezdin, at the end of this Ravid, I believe. He says, "Va'harav Bezdin zal pirish mesa ein chayavin beonseha davko medis ba'agim lo mishtam shiva." When are they not chayavin onsim if it's sitting in the wilderness and they haven't used it? But if they want to use it, if meaning, he says, what does the verse say? Mishtam shel kol mishelta mesa ein chayavin beonseha. The way everyone bought the Rav HaBezdin understands it is, they can use it for the rest of the time, and they're not chayiv in onsim. The Rav HaBezdin understands it as litzdadin katani. Two different possibilities. They have the choice. They can use it the rest of the time and be chayiv in onsim, or they cannot use it and be potter in onsim. And that's what he says here. He says, if they want to use it for the rest of the time and are machzik it as shoalim umesa and it dies chayavin beonseha, then they're chayavin onse. Meaning, if they want to use it, what's the mashmos? Why does he mention sitting in the agam in the wilderness? Not only if they use it, they're chayavin onse. Even if they just decide to use it and it's in their property, so they have a kinyan chotzer that they decide. Even if they haven't used it yet, they go to the rabbi and they say, not like the mistaken case later on. They know, they go to the rabbi and they say, we have this parashaula. We don't know what to do with it. Our father borrowed it for 30 days and there's 16 days left. And the rabbi tells them, you're allowed to use it the rest of the time. So they say, great, we're going to use it the rest of the time. If it's in their chotzer, then right now they're kinyan chotzer to use it the rest of their time. Now they become shalim, and they are chayiv and onsim. And that's the Ravid concludes about the Rav HaBezdin. Harisha son of Rav Zal le'elu k'sholim gemur v'nechzu tachzaviyam. He made them into totally shalim in the place of their father. Again, not like the sheet of the Ravid. The Rav HaBezdin had a more machmer sheet than the Ravid. V'adomer tzarech iyon. So first the Rashba, what does he say? Obviously you can't say they're automatically chayiv and onsim. That would be against the Braisa. The Braisa says they're not chayiv and onsim. What he says with a Braisa and not chayiv and onsim, it depends. Right? What does he say? If they want to use it, then they're chayavin be'omsen. That's the shita of the Rav of Beis Din. The Rashba has a technical kasha on him, which is not really so strong. The Rashba says, "Dirt sarch iyan chada the mesa chaymot sel lechora amishtam shibakoi." So number one, he says it's a lechora kasha. Basically,
what does it say? It says mishtam shin ba v'chuli mesa. This is a semicolon. Mesa kama ein chayavin.
Right? He says, lechora, it sounds like it's discussing one scenario. They're mishtam shinba, and in that scenario, mishtam shinba, they're potter from onsim. So,
same scenario. This is rov rishonim.
And what's his first kasha? Lechora, it sounds like the same scenario. Okay, lechora, he's right. That's certainly the simplest way to read it, but the Rav Bez is a more complicated way to read it. How the Rav Bez read it? One scenario.
And the other scenario. This is the Rav Bezdin, author of the Sefer Heschel.
He says, they can use it the whole time, and obviously if they use it the whole time, they're showing their chayva unsim. You think you have to tell me that? That's obvious. And then, if they don't use it, they're potter from unsim. That's how the Rav Abezdin reads it. So what's his kasha? Because lechora, it sounds like one scenario. Okay, maybe it sounds like one scenario, maybe not. And then he asked, "Di lo lemevi kaim ba'agam mesa in chaymol." So he says, because if it meant two scenarios, you should have said they can use it the whole time, and if they don't, then they're potter from onsim. All right, Rav Abezdin would say goes without saying. Whoever heard of using something that being chayv and onsim? You ever heard of a barber's not chayv and onsim? Obviously, means they're chayv and onsim. And then it's obvious a different scenario. They're part of Ronson. Then he's another kasha was not so strong for owned. The im came to v'chua v'chulu l'sham dekula. If they ate it, they should have to pay for all of it. The migar achlu mishin v'sham shu mesa. Is eating it any worse than using it? If they use it, they're chayv in onsin. Kolskin, if they shecht and eat it, they're chayv in onsin. V'divere rav filu chayv v'chatzirim l'shalom and chayv v'chatzirim l'sheela. According to Rav Bezdin, if they use it, they're chayv in onsin. Even if it's just in their chatzir, they're chayv in onsin. Kolshkin, if they shecht it and eat it, they should be chayv in onsim. How would the Rav of Bezdin defend himself against that kasha? Again, the Rashba's first kasha is, it sounds like one case. It doesn't sound like two cases. They should have said so if it was two cases. And the Rav of Bezdin will answer, no, it was obvious it was two cases. You know, it's a matter of interpretation. Go figure. His second kasha is, then why are they putter if they eat it? Shouldn't they be chayv in onsim? How would the Rav of Bezdin answer?
They didn't know.
What?
I didn't know.
Yes, the Rav of Bezdin, he's cheating a little. The Rav of Bezdin is pretty clear that they're only chayv and onsim if they know that it belongs to someone else and they're borrowing it. Meaning, they know it's not their father's and they know they're borrowing it. Let's say it's Morty's cow. Right? And their father dies. If they know it's Morty's cow and they borrow it, then they become shalim. I don't think the Rav of Bezdin meant to say they're chayv and onsim if they mistakenly use it. No, if they think it's their father's cow, and they use it by mistake, and they say, if we had known it was a borrow cow, and we might have to pay, we would never have used it. Wow, we're going to start taking chances on paying for someone's cow. We would never have used it if we knew it was borrowed. We only used it because we thought it was ours. Then the Rav Bezdin wouldn't say they're chayv and onsim. That's a mechatos. That's by mistake. They only borrowed it by mistake because they didn't realize they were borrowing it. I don't think you'd say a mechatos is chayv and onsim. So I think here he's being a red herring. He's making the Rav Bezdin say you're always chayv and onsim. No, he didn't say always chayv and onsim. Always chayv and onsim if you decided to use a borrowed cow. But here, if they didn't know that it was a borrowed cow, so then they're potter from onsim. So we just have to add to the Rav Bezdin if they want to use it. Let's just add a little asterisk. And they know it's borrowed. Then they're chayv and onsim. I mean, they know what they're getting into. They know they're using a borrowed cow. That's when the Rav of Bezdin says they're chayv and onsim. He never said they're chayv and onsim if they made a mistake about the cow and wouldn't have used it. And that's why if they shecht and eat it, obviously you say, we only shecht and eat it because we thought it was ours. We would never have shecht and eaten someone else's cow. Therefore, they're not chayv and onsim because it was all betos. L'chore, that's pshat in the Rav of Bezdin, and that's why the Rashba's kashas are really not disproofs. There's no disproof to the Rav of Bezdin. He's a shita's yachid, but he's a possible shita. Yes?
That's an extension of just saying it's the chayav shmir, the chayav, that it's what they think, it's not exeris. It's exeris, it doesn't matter what they think or don't think.
Not so poshut. even Exeris HaKasa, I at first glance I know that seems correct, but even Exeris HaKasa that a Shomer is Chayev might only be if the person, even Exeris HaKasa, the person is Chayev if they willingly, took advantage of the situation of Shmira, even Exeris HaKasa, Onus Rachman Apatre, even Exeris HaKasa of Shomer is Chayev something, that's only if he willingly entered into a situation of Shmira, if he only was fooled into becoming a Shomer, then even Exeris HaKasa might say he's Potter. So I'm not sure. I hear the Taina, but not sure. Now, everyone rejects the Rav HaBezdin, right? No one agrees with Rav HaBezdin. To the best of my knowledge, I haven't found the chaver, as they say in Halacha Glingo, for the Rav HaBezdin. But the interesting question is, why not? Meaning, the Ramban makes sense. You're not a Shomer. Once you are a Shomer, why not become the Rav HaBezdin? Meaning, what's the question of the Rav HaBezdin? Nicha, that the Ramban disagrees with the Rav HaBezdin. The Ramban says there's no parsha of Shmira here. Nichla Ramban disagrees with the Rav HaBezdin. But the question is, Yesh La'ayin, Lama, Tosos, and the Rashba . Why do Tosos, the Rashba, and the Rambam disagree with Rav HaBezdin? After all, they say there is a parsha of Shmira here. Right, they admit there's a parsha of Shmira. Not only that, they admit there's a parsha of Shmira, and what's the kasha? Haray. Modim heim shehayorshim nasu shomrim, right? They admit the yorshim are shomrim, the mechayvim gnei v'aveda, they admit the parsha applies, and Kol Hanah Shalom. What's the principle? The Gemara explains. Why do they Shoel Chayv on everything more than a Socher, more than a Shomer Socher? Because all the other Shomerim don't get all the Hanah. The Shomer Chinam loses all the Hanah, right? If I'm a Shomer Chinam, the owner gets all the Hanah, I get nothing. If I'm a Shomer Socher or a Socher, we each get Hanah. You get guarding and I get salary, or I get usage and you get rent payment. A Shoel gets all the Hanah. If he gets all the Hanah, then he's Chayv in Onsim. So hold on, they admit he's a Shomer. And, you know, if you read through the Rashba, you start to get this question. The Rashba says, well, I really think they shouldn't get off scot-free these Yisomer. After all, they only inherited from the father the right to use it with Chiyuve Shomer. They should still be Shomer. He says, now I'm happy, I found the right that says, they're Chayv and Gnei Veda. But don't believe the Shita Chiyuve Onsim. Hold on, if they really inherited their father's status, then they're really Shomer, they're really Kol Hanah Shalo, why shouldn't they agree with Rav HaBezdin? And here, I think there are two different drachim to take. One derech is the clever Avnei Nezer. The clever derech and the lumdish derech. One answer is the Avnei Nezer, as I mentioned in his Shiur Maksubos. The Avnei Nezer, he accepts the premise of the question of the lumdish. Conceptually, he thinks it's a good question. If you're really a Shomer, and you're a Shomer of Kol Hanah Shalom, not Kol Hanah Shalom, Nenim Ahana means if you get some Hanah, and other people also get Hanah, it's like a balance of Hanahs, but you're getting partial Hanah, then you should be Chayim Nenim Aveda. This is not whole Venena. This is Kol Hanah Shalom. You're getting all the Hanah. If you're getting all the Hanah, if they can use it for free, then why shouldn't they be Chayev as Shalom, Chayiv and Olsim? That's the fair exchange for Kol Hanah Shalom. What does the Avnei Nezer answer in a cleverer way? He accepts the premise that it's a valid question. He says, this is Enkan Kol Hanah Shel Hayorshim. It's not Kol Hanah Shalom. Why don't they get all the Hanah? Because Ki gam bailim nehnim vazeh sheparasam mishtamer ve'eno hefker. Says, can you imagine if the father died and there were no yorshim? What if the father died and there were no yorshim? Let's say the father died without any relatives. He died alone without any heirs. There he couldn't locate next of kin. So what would happen to this cow? It would be hefker. Someone would come and take it. Someone would come and do this, do that, do that. The guy becomes his cow. What do you mean? The guy died. All his property's hefker. I didn't care. It's technically hefker. Gershom, he's not in the Yorshim, or just practically hefker. The mice, there's no Yorshim around. So people just do what they want. He would, thank God. He, what is the owner saying? Baruch Hashem, there are Yorshim to guard my cow. I'm so nana, there are Yorshim to keep an eye on my cow. Even if the Yorshim, whether or not they know whose cow it is, at least they're keeping an eye on it and making not, not hefker. Therefore, it's not called an ashalo, it's an exchange of hana'ah. Ah, the Abdenezer asked, so isn't every shoel an exchange of hana'ah? You, I lend you my cow, you use the cow, and I say, oh, I'm glad someone's watching after my cow. Isn't every hana'ah an exchange? Every borrower an exchange? So he says, no, when I lend you my cow, what am I, hana'ah, the cow's in my barn, it's perfectly well guarded. I don't need anyone to guard my cow. I have a farm. I have a lot of other cows. I have a fence around my farm. A normal case of she'ela, if I lend you my car. My car's in my driveway. It's perfectly safe. If I lend you my car, I'm getting no hana. You're getting old hana. I lend you my power drill, my power saw, right? I lend you a saw. The saw's in my toolbox. It's in my house. It's perfectly safe. I'm getting no hana. You're getting old hana. That's a normal case. When I lend someone something from my house. But this is a unique case. When did the Yisomim start borrowing? They didn't get it from the guy's house. They got it from their father's death. Ah, when the father dies, now all the property is vulnerable. When a guy dies, without Yorshim, his property is vulnerable. So unlike a regular case, you know what this is like? This is like a case where I left my bicycle unlocked in the middle of New York City. And I say, you know what? You need a bicycle? Run and grab my bike. It's at the corner of, Madison Avenue and 45th Street. And it's blue and has a little sticker and whatever. And bring it back to me tomorrow. That's a unique case. You're a shoel, but you're a shoel who's also saving my property from theft. In that case, the Abnezer would say, he's not chayv and onsim. He's not getting all the hana. I'm getting enough. Someone saved my bicycle from being stolen. Here also, it's a unique case of shoel where... Oh, if not for these Yorshim, it would have been Hefker. A Shoel who saved my property from Hefkeres, who saved my property from theft, which is not the normal case. That's a rare case of Shoel. In this rare case of Shoel, Taka, there's no Chiyuv Onsim, because it's not called an Ashalo. That's the clever answer of the Abnezer. And it's certainly a good answer. You have to work out the scenario. Obviously, if the owner was there at the time the father died, then the other neighbors say, yes, it's not going to work. It has to be that the owner was in the other side of town when the father died, or the owner was in a different town when the father died. Then the other neighbors answer could work reasonably well. The Yorshim are providing an exchange hana of guarding this hefker property. And by the way, this is a real nafkamina ladina. The Abnezer would say, if I left my bike unlocked in New York City, and I said, you want to borrow my bike? Quick, go get it. Mm-hmm. Then you're not chayv and onsim, because I'm also getting hana. That's
If it was in New York City, the bike wouldn't be there.
There wouldn't be a hiketz. There wouldn't be a hiketz. Okay, I'm saying it was in Yerushalayim, okay? It was in Yerushalayim. It was on King George and the corner of King George and Yafo. Corner of King George and Yafo, I wouldn't want to leave my bike there overnight. But F-shirt could last for an hour or two. You never know, right? That's one answer. And there's nothing wrong with that answer. It's a good logical answer, even a nafkamina ladina that could come up. I bet this case has happened once that a guy told someone else to borrow something which was left hefker, and then the Abnezer would potter him from Olsen. If you want them to be a little more lumpish, brisker about it, you could give a different answer. Maybe you could say that, no, there's a fundamental difference between Chiyuv Onsen and Chiyuv Gneva Vaveda. There's a fundamental difference between Chiyuv Onsim and Chiyuv Gneva Vaveda. For example, we could take the Ketzavot here. You could say, no, there's a fundamental difference between Chiyuv Onsim and Chiyuv Gneva Vaveda. For example, if you say Chiyuv Onsim is due to Kenyan, and Chiyuv Gneva Veda is due to the lack of Shmira, then you can easily explain why everyone just used the Rav Avez and say, nah, the Chiyuv Kenyan, in fact, I was Kona and now I have to pay you back, that only the father did. What? Ah, they can do it in a chatzer. But the assumption is they're the ones who like took something and now have to owe something in exchange.
No,
sorry.
Okay,
I'll say better. Clearly, they're. You're right. I'm right, but you're right that I didn't express it properly. Absolutely. Say like this. What's the idea of Kenyan? I took something and now I owe you to pay it back. The question is if it's a matter of Kenyan, you could say the father bought the cow and owes the payback, right? Oh yeah, he didn't buy it permanently. He only bought it temporarily, right? He bought the cow and owes the payback. Hold on, it's a very simple question. If someone's father bought a TV on credit and didn't pay yet and then dies, do the kids get the TV? Yes. Do they have to pay his credit card bill? No, not unless, I'm not talking about secular law, not unless they inherit real estate, right? They don't necessarily have to pay his bills. Meaning, once a father buys something and owes the money, let's say no bill pay. Someone, I have bad luck. I sell someone a computer and they owe me 1,000 shekel and they're going to pay me tomorrow and then they die. The kids get the computer, it's already theirs. Kids don't have to pay 1,000 shekel. Milva, Baal Peh, certainly if there's no real estate, let's say, is not going back. I'll be dealing with the Gemara. So the father bought the cow and owes payback. And then what you say, the kids inherit the cow, but not the debt. Why don't they inherit the debt? Again, for the Rambam, if there's no Christ, the Chassim, and for other people, because the debt is not yet actualized. As opposed to in the Shmira, you could say no. You could say that the cow comes with a key of Shmira. Whoever is holding onto the cow has to keep an eye on it. Not just keep an eye on it, but whole banana has to do a very good job of keeping an eye on it. What I'm saying is that, here I'm using two radical opposite ends of the spectrum. Saying that if you understand, based on the Chakira that we had earlier, that there's different kinds of shmira come from different kinds of chiyuvim, show the chiyuv onsim comes with the fact that once I bought it, I have to pay for it. Who has to pay for it? The guy who bought it has to pay for it. The guy who didn't buy it doesn't have to pay for it. But if you're going to say that Gneva Veda comes from, I was negligent and with your property, so I have to pay, then it's still your property. Meaning, if you take the Kenyan, it's the father's property, now the kid's property. The father agreed to pay, the kids never agreed to pay. But if you take the approach of Shmira, no, it's the owner's property. So the father was supposed to guard the owner's property, maybe the kids are also supposed to guard the owner's property. I'm saying this in Chloe's terms. You could also say there's different Kenyan and just a chi of insurance policy or between insurance policy and chi of Shmira. And obviously you can take that back there. Maybe Kenyan is something someone agrees to, while Gneva Aveda is something which the Torah, chi of Shmira is something the Torah imposes on you. Or even within the same tzad, they're chal at different times. Okay, I just gave one illustration of how you could say this answer, but basically what I'm claiming is there's two different ways to defend all the Rishonim against the Rav Bezdin's kasha. Well, he doesn't ask this kasha, against the Rav Bezdin. Against what the Rav Bezdin meant to say, which is what about Kol HaNashalo? One is the Abdenazer to say there's not Kol HaNashalo. The other is to say, I know it's Kol HaNashalo, but there's two different principles of Shomer. There's the principle of Onsim and the principle of Deva Veda. The principle of Gneva Veda applies even to the kids. The father had to watch it, they inherited, they also have to watch it. The principle of Chiv Onsim, Chiv Onsim has nothing to do with watching it. Chiv Onsim is because now when you bought it, you agreed to pay. The father bought and agreed to pay, the kids can inherit what the father's bought and not agree to pay. So if you assume that Onsim and Gneva Veda are two different principles, then it might be easier to explain this even without the Chiddush of the Avdei Nezer. Meaning, even if the Avdei Nezer wouldn't apply. Let's say the owner was around at the time and could have kept an eye on his cow and it wasn't Hefker. Still, or let's say there were nice neighbors who would have kept an eye on the cow and it wasn't Hefker. Nonetheless, you don't need the Avdei Nezer. You could just say it's a Lundish difference.
The case you gave about the computer and then owing the money later on isn't relevant to the source. Because as long as the cow is still there, they have to give back the cow. It's not a few money that they have to pay it back. It's long as it exists, they have to give back the object.
Ah, as long as it exists, they have to give back the object, but once something happens to the object, then they just have to pay, then it's like the computer. Meaning, once an onus happens, maybe it's like the computer.
Yeah, they have the cow.
They
had the cow, so they had a fee to give the cow back. They didn't have a fee of money right then.
Ah, so why are they chayv and onsim? They have a chiv to give the cow back. Why are they chayv and onsim? That's my question. Fine, we'll give the cow back, but if there's no cow, if the cow dies, why are they chayv and onsim? So one possibility is they're not chayv and onsim because of what happened when it died. They're chayv and onsim because when they bought it, they agreed to pay in case of onus. Okay, so that's the father who bought it agreed to pay in the case of onus. Basically what I'm claiming is once the cow's gone, now it turns into the computer case. Okay, that's about now. I think we're really done with, again, you can certainly explore this further, but I think now we're really done with what we have to say about Bat Metziah and the three shitas in our sugya as to how high these of them are and what the yesodos of those three shitas are. Now we're ready to go back. We're leaving Maseches Bat Metziah and returning to Maseches Kimlei V'Ravminei, which will be a Maseches Kimlei V'Ravminei till the bottom of Lamed Hei on the base, and even then we won't be finished because we'll get back to the Maseches Kimlei V'Ravminei on Daf Lamed Zayin for one block from the bottom of Lamed Zayin on the base till the middle of Amud Aleph to the middle of Lamed Ches Amud Aleph. So we still have two more blocks of Maseches Kimlei V'Ravminei. Let's start with our Gemara. Right, where are we? We are Bishlam Rav Yochanan Lomar Kreish Lakish Tugamokim Lakaravonim. El Reish Lakish, my time in the Umr Lak Rav Yochanan. Let's remind ourselves, I know it's been a while, of how we got into this since Daf Lamed Beis. We got into this because we started with, remember Daf Lamed Beis, we started the question of the Mishnah in Ksubo says that you're Mishalim, but the Mishnah in Mako says, we're talking about a Choso, you're Loka. And you can't be loka mashali. Right? So the first answer was Ula. Ula said that this is the regular case, you pay, and this is the case of, what was the most in the end? It was a shot, Yesoma Umafuta. Right? Yesoma Umafuta. And Yesoma and Mefuta has no money, and that's why you get Malkus. Rav Yochanan said the opposite. He said this is the regular case. The regular case is that Malkus is Dochel. What's the case in Ksubas? The case in Ksubas is Lo Hisrubo, without a Srub. There's no Malkus, and that's why you pay money. And what did Reish Lakish say? Reish Lakish was the third opinion. Said that exactly. Reb Meir, both Mishnayos are according to Reb Meir. Reb Meir said you can be loko mashali. So what does the Gemara say? Bishlomer Yochanan or Reish Lakish Mokel Lakravon. I understand why Reb Yochanan didn't like Reish Lakish's answer because he didn't want to be like Reb Meir. He wants to be like the Chachamim who we paskin like. El Reish Lakish my time loko Reb Yochanan. Why didn't Reish Lakish like Reb Yochanan's answer? It's a great answer. Amr Lach came and Divo Asherbe Potter, Kilo Asherbe Nami Potter. Ah, says Reish Lakish. No, he doesn't like Reb Yochanan's answer. He thinks that since you would be Potter for a moment if you did get Malkus, you'd also be Potter for a moment even if you didn't get Malkus. Meaning he thinks Chaybe Malkus Shog again, even though they don't get Malkus, since they could theoretically get Malkus, are Potter from Mamon. While Rabbi Yochanan thinks Chayiv Malkus Shogin are Chayiv and Mamon, then the Gemara just explains. So Azdu Letamai Yudchi Aser of Dimi Armer Chayiv Misa Shogin Chayiv Malkus Shogin Dover Acher. If you're Chayiv Misa, but Beshogeg, you're not going to get Misa. You did me Beshogeg, and you owe money, or you owe money at the same time, or Chayiv Malkus Beshogeg, not actual Malkus, just a Shogeg of an Iser Malkus, and money at the same time. Rabbi Yochanan Armer Chayiv Reish Lakish Armer Potter. Rabbi Yochanan says no. If you don't get the punishment, there's no Kimlurim Ramnei. And Reish Lakish says, even if you don't get the punishment, even a shogeg has come later to rob me. That is what Rav Dimi said. Rav Yochanan Rechayv Delo Asrabe. Rav Yochanan says, there's no Hasra, you don't get Malkus and Misa, so you have to pay money. Reish Lakish Amar Potter came to Delo Asrabe. Potter, Delo Asrabe, Nami Potter. No, since you would have Kimlin Ramine if you were getting the punishment with Asra, you also have Kimlin Ramine even if you don't get the punishment. Eis Reish Lakish to Rav Yochanan, Velo Ya'ason Anish Yanish. Rav Lakish has a Kasha. Says, what does the Torah says? Remember the original pasuk, right? That we already had on Daf Lamed already. Im lo ye'ason, if you, the two men are fighting with each other and one of them causes the woman to miscarry. So if there's no death, then he has to pay dmei vlados for the miscarriage. So, what does that prove? That he only pays if there's no death. But if there's death, then he's pater from amnuk sikhlum and rabine. My love, ason mamish. Doesn't ason mean a killing, meaning a crime of murder. Also means that in the fight he killed someone. What does that prove? That proves that if he killed someone in the fight, he is pater for money, even if he killed them without hasra, right? As long as I kill someone, even if I kill them by accident, even if I kill them without hasra and I don't actually get punished, as long as I did, I'm still pater for mamam. So if you don't answer, no problem. Lo din ason. No, ason doesn't mean if someone is killed. It means if you are liable for killing someone. Meaning, if you kill the Asura and you actually get Mises Bezdin. Okay, at this point, within the Rav Dimi version, we say the argument ason. Reish Lakish says, ason means the Aveira, whether or not you get punished for it, patches you from Mammon. Rav Yochanan says, no, only the punishment for the Aveira, patches you from Mammon. Igadami Ish Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish, lo yason anoshi anish my love. Din ason, lo ason mamish. Okay, the same thing, mirror image. Amar Rava. Rava says we don't hold like Rav Dimi. Mi ikal manda amar chayvim misa shogian. Chayavim. Is there any manda amar who says that if you do a chayiv misa without hasra your shogeg, then you're still going to be chayiv mamon? No, it's against Tanu Vechizkiva. Tanu Vechizkiva, Maki Oda Maki Vehema, Ma Maki Vehema, Lokalaki Vehema, Mezeb, Miskam, Shin Miskam, Derek Ridal, Derek Halia, Lapot, Ramon, Chaib, and Waman, Afaka Oda, Motaku, Shin Mezeb, Miskam, Lane, Miskam, Derek Ridal, Derek Halia, Chaib, Waman, Ella, Le, Vote for Mamon. Right? Everyone agrees with Tanu Vechizkiva. Why we know that everyone agrees with Tanu Vechizkiva is the deon of this long Tosos to Brasilomi, which we're not going to get to yet. But this is the famous Tanu Vechizkiva, that just like Maka Behema, if I kill or hurt your animal, if I damage your animal, it doesn't matter whether I'm mazes or shogeg, whether I meant to kill this animal or I meant to injure something else, whether it was going up or going down, either way I'm chayiv money. Likewise, if I chas shalom kill a person, doesn't matter if it's shogeg or mazed, if it's miskaven to him or not miskaven to him, if it was derech aliyah or derech yurida, which makes a difference in terms of golos, there's a difference in whether I'm going up or down. So it's saying that here it doesn't make a difference. Either way, I'm potter for money. And this is how we know that if I do a chayiv mitzvah shogeg, I'm still potter for mamon, we still have kim levi derav midei. So, doesn't everyone agree with Tanu Vechizkiya? Eliki Asa Ravin, Amar Ravin gives the halachically accepted version of the Machlok to Yerukhan Shlokish. Chayve Misa Shogun Kuli Amalo Pli Yudhurn. Everyone agrees Chayve Misa Beshogeg is Pater from Mammon. That's Tanu Vechizkiya. Ki Pli Yudhurn Malkus Shogun Vidarachir. Rabbi Yochanan Shlokish only argue about Chayve Malkus Beshogeg and money at the same time. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Chayev, Chayve Misa Ishkes Chayve Malkus Lishkes. Rabbi Yochanan says Chayve. Only this Hekesh, Tanu Vechizkiya, only by Misa we have a Hekesh that if you do it Beshogeg, you're Pater. By Malkus, we have no such source. Reish Lakish Amar Pater, Befeish Rub Satar Chayve Malkus Chayve Misa. Reish Lakish says no, Pater, because he is a Drusha, an explicit Drusha, that the Torah included that the same term applied to Chayve Malkus as the Chayve Krisus. Heichon Rub Satar, where in fact is such a Drusha. Amar Abayis of Rasha Rasha. Rashi says, it says, Rasha by Malkus, right? Vayam ben Hakus a Rasha. It says, Rasha by Misa, Asher, who Rasha Lamas? Whatever applies to Misa applies to Malkus. Therefore, Tanu Vechizkiya applies to Malkus. Rava Amar Asya Make Make. No, it is a Hekesh of two Makes. What Rav means is not that Malkus can appear to Misa, it's that just like by Misa, we have a Drusha that says that just like by Misa, we have a drasha that says that by animals, you're always chayiv mamon. When you do murder and you do a chayiv misa, you're always pater for mamon. We likewise have a drasha that says, just like by maka behemi, you're also always chayiv mamon. By chayiving malchus, whether mazer or shogeg, you're always pater for mamon. I'm really proud of the high maka, what maka? Ilemu maka behemi, shalmana maka adam, you must have a tolexiv. If between maka behemi and maka adam, that's talking about misa, not malchus. El high maka nefesh behemi, shalmana nefesh, nefesh. Samachleve ishkitin mumbai, so kasher, so ken yosolo. Talking about just injuring a person. Injuring a person is a chiyav of Malkus. Of high love Maku. It doesn't say Maku. It says Yitin. Anna ka ka kamrina. No, you're allowed to make a Hekesh even if it is, doesn't say Malkus. Even if it just has the meaning of Maka, which is nosing. How can you say this is comparing Maka Behemoth to chiyav Malkus? Comparing Maka Behemoth to injuring someone where you pay money and we saw. You don't get Malkus. It would have no chiddush in this drasha if it was talking about a regular injury with shavapruta. It must be talking about an injury that's not a shavapruta, which you're chayv Malkus for, and therefore it's a hekesh, just like when you hit injure an animal, you always have to pay. When you're chayv Malkus, you always don't have to pay. Hold on. If you injure someone less than shavapruta, what do you mean you don't have to pay money? It's not a shavapruta of damage. How would you have to pay money anyway? No, somehow you injured someone less than shavapruta, and at the same time tore his clothing. Maybe like when you're hitting him, you tore his clothing. And therefore you don't have to pay for his clothing, whether you hit him b'mezid and actually got the malchus, or whether you hit him a shogeg and just did a thief malchus shogin. Okay, that's enough for now. And we're going to go over that video. Just, we want to get the base of our folks for Yochanan Mishlakish here. This is the base of our folks for Yochanan Mishlakish. So, according to Rabin, right, that's our maskana. Let's see, according to Rabin, what's the machlokas Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish? Again, not about all shogi. I mean, according to Rav Dimi, the machlokas is the kumar rabbi neighbor shogi. Right, across the board. Right, let's take Rav Dimi. According to Rav Dimi, what is, Rav Yochanan holds that there's no kimli rav mine b'shogeg, and Reish Lakish holds there is kimli rav mine b'shogeg. Right? That's very poshut across the board. But we reject Rav Dimi because we say everyone agrees that Tanit v'chizkia, we paskin like Ravin. Ravin. So what does Ravin say? Ravin says very poshut. What does Reish Lakish think? Thinks that there is kimli ramine bishogig. Or, no, let's say it a little better. Lekulei alma, right? Chayvei miso shogigin are pturin from mamon. What are they arguing about? They're arguing about, I know, I haven't said anything yet. The argument of Chayvei Malkus Shogin, right? Rav Yochanan says, and that's how we passin, Chayvei Malkus Shogin are Chayavin, and Reish Lakish says, Chayvei Malkus Shogin are Peturin. Okay, what is the Svara of Dir Machlokes, right? So what would it seem from a pshat reading the Bar Gemara? What's the story of the machlokas? What are they arguing about? They're arguing about the status of what? Of chayvim malkas shogin, right? Reish Lakish says you can pure chayvim malkas shogin, chayvim misa shogin, and Rabbi Yochanan doesn't. It would seem that, and I've seen that. We'll see who holds this way. What would it seem that? So one shita is he says that Chayvei Malkus Shogigin is not significant. And Reish Lakish says, no, even Chayvei Malkus Shogigin is significant. Right? That's the argument. Chayvei Malkus Shogigin is significant, or is it not significant. Now, that's the Shoshim Shadaling Art. What's Reish Lakish saying? Russia, Malkus is like Misa. Rabbi Yochanan thinks Malkus is not like Misa. Or Reish Lakish says, you have a Hekish for Chayvei Malkus Shogin also. There's no Hekish for Chayvei Malkus Shogin. That's the Shoshim Shadaling Art Gemara. The problem is only the Marsha holds this way. Why do I say that? As Reb Chaim pointed out, now I'm just going to say over Reb Chaim. He says it nicely, so why not say it over? Reb Chaim pointed out, let's look at this question. What about, what case haven't we dealt with here? Chayvei Misa Shogigin and Mamon, we've dealt with. Everyone agrees according to Ravin. Chayvei Malkus Shogigin and Mamon, that's the Machlokes Yochanan Reish Lakish. What's the only combination left? Chayvei Misa Shogigin and Malkus. And Malkus, right? What about Chayvei Misa Shogigin and Malkus? Behasra. Right? What if you do a Chayiv Misa Shogin and a Malkus at the same time? Now this is not just a theoretical case. This is a Mefurish Gemara in Chulin, right? Right? Let's say at the same time, what's a good case? Let me just make up an example, right? Which, no, I didn't steal from the Gemara in Chulin. Let's say I sheft the mommy animal, and then on the same day I sheft the kid animal for Avodah Zarah, as a carbon for Avodah Zarah.
This Gemara in Chulin.
Exactly, that's the case of Gemara in Chulin pay off in days. Right? But then when the guy warns me, he says, ah, don't shech also v'es b'no, you're going to be chayiv malchus. But he forgot to tell me that it was also to worship Avodah Zarah. So, I'm chayiv misa shogin. I did Avodah Zarah, but I don't get punished for it. But, chayiv malchus v'asras. So do I get malchus or not? Right? Chayiv misa shogin u'malchus v'his rubo al hamalchus. Right? You got asra for the malchus. So, do I get malchus or not? According to this way of understanding of Yochanan Rish Lakish, don't tell me what it says anymore. According to this way of understanding of Yochanan Rish Lakish, what would you think? If Chayvi Misa, should Chayvi Misa be Shogeg Pater for Malkus or not? What would you think? Yeah, well, everyone agrees Chayvi Misa Shogeg is significant. Right? Everyone agrees Chayvi Misa Shogeg is significant. What would you think? You would think, Lekule Alma, you're putter. Why? Here I'm with the Chayvi Malkus Meshogin is significant. Here you have Chayvi Misa Meshogin, right? Everyone agrees that Chayvi Misa Shogin is significant. That everyone agrees. Okay. I think I already gave it away. I don't know if anyone got a chance to look at the brackets. Who holds that Taka, everyone agrees that in this case you'd be putter from Malkus? The Marasha and Malkus. Yeah. I know it's against the Mefurish Gemara, but I think the Marasha also did that. He knew Mefurish Gemaras. The Marasha and Malkus, I did put that in brackets, right? The, here we are. The Marasha and Malkus, Adaptes Zion of Aleph, total Aga Porcha there, says, oh, well, everyone agrees you're putter in this case. This is the Shita Samarsha. The Marsha in the Sechus Makos. That's what he says. Everyone agrees in that. Everyone agrees that Chayvim Misa Shogin is a big deal. That should pop to you. They argue whether Chayvim Malkus for Shogin is a big deal or not. Everyone agrees Chayvim Misa Shogin is a big deal and you're putter. So in this case, you don't get Malkus for Osiris Beno because you almost got Chayvim Misa for Avodah Zarah. The already on that Maharsha, I think the Maharsha L'Chachma Shlomo on the same Maharsha page, which I don't have here in Makos, I don't think, asks on him, you're against the Mefurish Gemara. Right, slight problem. He's just against the Mefurish Gemara. What does the Gemara say in Chulin? Let's read the Gemara. Amarish Lakish. If you shech the second one, the baby, I mean, it doesn't matter which second. For Avodah Zarah, your potter from Malkus, the Kimlin Rabine, because the Kimlin Rabine. Amalei Rabbi Yochanan, Zua Filah Jom Shavas Rabbi Yom Nusayel Pa'amim, Shafil Shachar Rishon Shulchan Mishen Lo Avodah Zarah Chayev. Going to ask Rabbi Yishom Osu Yes Beno, we'll ask Rabbi Yishom Avodah Zarah. Rabbi Yochanan said, no, sometimes you'll be Chayev Malkus. If they only gave you Hasra for Malkus and they didn't give you Hasra for Avodah Zarah, meaning if you were Shogeg in Avodah Zarah and Mazed on the Osu Yes Beno, then you get Malkus. And there it says, no, Rish Lakish thinks you wouldn't. Then they bring in our sugya. Meaning, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish have the same machlokis. Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish say that, what Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish say, that Rabbi Yochanan says, ah, just like in our sugya, I think that Chayvim Misa Shogin does not pat you from Malkus, you're still Chayiv Malkus. And Reish Lakish says, no, just like in our sugya, Chayvim Misa Shogin does pat you from Malkus. So the Gemara in Chulin is against the Marsha, which everyone's kasha on the Marsha. Agav, how would you defend the Marsha? Right? The Marsha is not the type to forget Mefurish Gemaras. He's not like a diuk from a Tosfos against the Marsha. Okay, the Seder, no, maybe it slipped him by, he was having a bad day. If I was on Mefurish, like, you know, with 10 lines of the Gemara, hard to imagine it escaped the Marsha. Nira Lemiyazdaiti, Yeah, that he might say, because later the Gemara quotes Rav Dimi. He might say that whole Gemara was only according to Rav Dimi. It doesn't sound that way. It sounds like Rav Yochanan and Rav Shlakish says. Marshalat say Bedochah, that Gemara was according to Rav Dimi. Of course according to Rav Dimi, they argue about all Shogian. That's a chish, because the first 10 lines of that Gemara don't mention Rav Dimi. That's the Marshal would answer. He would defend himself, minastam, assuming this Yaakov came up with it on his own after I told him yesterday. But no, I let him. That Mestama, he would say that Gemara is a brother of Dini, we don't pass like that Gemara in Chulin. But let, yes?
Just a simple question. How can Gemara talk about whether you pay Matos and Mama? Because they talk about whether you pay Misa and Matos.
Right.
The same basis, and you
well, the Gemara, but the Gemara equates it.
But that's the issue. That's the, that when we were learning this morning, the Dover Acher, if it's Mammon, or if it's Misa and Malkus, is very confusing because different sugyas and different amorayim seem to be making different assumptions. How does all that play in? We couldn't figure out.
Okay, so that's what we're going to try and sort out. That's exactly what we're going to try and sort out. So basically what I'm claiming is there's two different approaches. There's Maharsha, and then there is Reb Chaim and most people. The Maharsha says Reb Yochanan and Shlakish are not arguing about Misa and Mammon. They're not arguing about Misa and Malkus. They're only arguing about Malkus and Mammon. They only argue whether Malkus Peshogeg is significant or not. Against the Gemara and Chulin. We don't hold like the Gemara and Chulin.
I'm not understanding why it's Dachal for the Gemara and Chulin. When the Gemara makes the connection between Malkus and Shlakish and Yochan there to Malkus and Kimle, it directly makes that to the Misa, you know?
Right. I guess the reason it's Dachal is because then that Gemara would be holding like Ravdimi, but our Gemara was not for Ravdimi. Why would the Gemara say something that's mufrach?
I mean, Rabin thought that. So, and Hanami, so if you read our Gemara, you would think that we schlugged up Rav Dimi and.
It's machlok. Meaning, it's machlok. It's a whether Rav Dimi schlugged up. Okay, so.
I'm saying in the Shabbat part of the Gemara, there, it's for sure Rav Dimi. It's not like maybe it's Rav Dimi.
Correct, but you could say that they brought Rav Dimi. They could have brought in Rav, and it didn't really matter because they weren't getting into that at that point.
Right.
But you're right, you're saying it's okay, fair enough. Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. How did the Rambam go? That's an interesting question, though. Let's see. Maybe you'll convince me. Well, let's just figure out Pashup Shot in the Gemara. Pashup Shot in the Gemara, right? What the Gemara says in Chulin, Pei Aleph Amud Beis, is that this is part of the Machlokes, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan says Chayav, and Reish Lakish says Potter, and it is Lishitasam. Okay, now you're starting to convince me. What does the Rambam say in this Gemara? Let's just see. Because we hold like Rabbi Yochanan, right? So should that make an afkamina? Yeah. Should we paskin chayev like Shana and Gemara? Should we paskin Rabbi Yochanan? Or according to Marshal, we should paskin Pater. Because it's not a machlokes Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish against that Gemara. So let's see what the Rambam says. I'm so curious. I'm dying with curiosity. Okay. Well, I'm glad I have a Rambam. Otherwise, I don't know what I would do. Now watch, he's probably not going to say either way. Let's see. Says the Rambam. Shachtu lavo dezara patim jolz venezor ramnachu. If you shachtu lavo dezara, you're patim jolz ramnachu. V'im hisrubo mishum osu isbenoblo hisrubo mishum akom loke. If they gave you hasra for the malchus, but you were shogig in the Avodah Zarah, then you get Malkus. The Rambam paskins against the Marsha, like the Pashat in the Gemara. Right, so this is the Gemara in the Avodah Zarah, Vekach Pasak HaRambam, and that's what all the Achronim assume. All the Achronim assume, like it says in the Gemara in Avodah Zarah. I know, Yaakov, he's making a good case. That, in Avodah Zarah, in Chulin. Maybe we don't pass like the Gemara in Chulin. The Marsha and Yaakov hold we don't pass like the Gemara in Chulin. But the Rambam does pass like the Gemara in Chulin. He says, if you're shogig on the Misa, and they give you a Sarafosos, no, you get Malkus.
because we don't like Rabbi Yochanan, even though the Rambam holds like Ravin. Okay, so that's what Reb Chaim was worried about. I'm glad the Rambam works out, because Reb Chaim has to fit with the Rambam. Let's let me check the Rambam. Sure, Reb Chaim checked the Rambam, right? So, hold on, the Rambam paskins like a Mefurish Gemara. I don't think Reb Chaim bothers to go with the Rambam, because it's a Gemara. It's a Mefurish Gemara in Chulin that says Reb Yochanan and Reish Lakish also argue about Chayve Misa Shogian and Malchus. But now it doesn't make sense. If they're arguing about whether he of Malchus Bishogi is significant or not, how should that affect the question of he of Misa Bishogi? Like, what's the yisod of their argument now? You can't say, like, we said for the Marsha. You can't say, they're arguing that he of Malchus Bishogi is significant. Because then, they shouldn't argue about this case. So that's what Reb Chaim was trying to explain. And his explanation is not fancy Brisker Lumdus. He's just explaining Pashup Shat. This Reb Chaim is Pashup Shat. It's not fancy Schmancy Lumdus. Says Reb Chaim, what's their machlokes? He says, I know from our Gemara, it sounds like they're arguing about the status of Malchus Bishogeg. But he says, that's not true. Really? I guess he would say this make Yaakov happy, rub a little closer to Dini. Really, what they're arguing about is that there's two different Dinim of Kimlut Ramine, says Reb Chaim. Here is what Reb Chaim says. Reb Chaim says there's two dinim of Kimlut Ramine. And again, you always have to be aware it's fake dinim. Like, you can't just invent there's two dinim in everything. There's two dinim in my grandmother, there's two dinim in my aunt, there's two dinim in my mother-in-law. No, there's not two dinim in everything. But Reb Chaim says here, Pashut there's Tzvei Dinim Kilu Ravine. After all, there's two different psukim, like two different parts of the Chumash. Like, if that doesn't prove Tzvei Dinim, what does? Right? Now, here's always tricky. If you have two different psukim, does that mean there's one din and the two psukim teach you the extent of that one din, or does that mean there's two different dinim? He says, what are the two different dinim? One din is learned from
Lo Yasum.
Exactly. In Lo Ye'asom. What is in Lo Ye'asom talking about? That's talking about, right, murder and paying money for the miscarriage. It's talking about how Misa pats Rama, right? What does it say? If there is an Inyan of Misa, then you don't pay Mamon. If there's no Inyan of Misa, then you do pay Mamon. Right? So what's the principle here? The principle here is Misa Poteres Mimamon. Then there's a second pasuk. What's the second pasuk?
Kidei Rishasso.
Exactly. Kidei Rishasso. Notice what he says is that is Kidei Rishasso, here's a trick question. Think carefully. Is that about something pattering from something else? Does Kidei Rishasso teach you what patters from what? What does Kidei Rishasso teach you?
You don't have the number of chiyuv.
That you don't get two punishments. You don't get two types of punishments, right? It's not about hierarchy of X being better than Y, or X excluding Y. It's about there being two different punishments. So, what does this mean? This means that E ata'i meaning ein, mechaivo mishum beis rishayos. Not having two different types of punishments. Says Reb Chaim, he says, I'll prove to you these are totally, totally separate dinim. Prove to you these are totally separate dinim by a very, very partial thought experiment. This is in the second Chaim, but it's the most partial thing in the world. What are some nafkaminas between these two dinim? Before we get back to our issue, what's a nafkamina between the two dinim? So he says, nafkamina between the two dinim is this. first of all, hold on. Before we figure out what nafka means, what cases does this cover? This covered the case of Misa Umamon, right? What cases are covered by Kidei Rishasso? Well, what do we always use Kidei Rishasso for? Malchus and Mamon, right? That's not covered by Ason. Ason means death, and Vinasan Bafluli means money. That's about death and money. This covers the case of Malchus and Mamon. But what other case would be covered by Kidei Rishasso besides Malchus and Mamon? What's another case where you have two Rishasses? Misa and Malchus, right? Would also be covered by that. He quotes from the how can you cover two cases by one principle? This is a little bit depends on the Shach Matari later on, but ignoring the Shach Matari and Daflam Zayin for now. Well, of course you can cover two different cases. It's not about X pattering Y and Y pattering X. It's about not having two different types of punishments. So you can't have any types of punishments. Theoretically, this would also cover Misa and Mamon. It's just covered already. Ezra Klein deals with a little in that second piece. Now, what's a nafkamina? He points out here's an obvious nafkamina. An obvious nafkamina is, between these two dinim, is can it go both ways? Can the other one pop to the first one? What do I mean by this? He says just to illustrate. The illustration is, in this case, Misa is poteris mamon, mamon eino poter Misa, right? It's about a hierarchy. Okay. Misa poters mamon, we never heard of mamon poter Misa, right. But in this case, let's think about it. According to, we hold like review opening, it's Ula. Malkus is poteris mamon. What happens if, can anyone name me two averas in the parshas in the Torah where even though there's malchus, you pay mamon? The favorish ribs the Torah l'tashlumin. Adam Zoman and Chol b'chaveru. Adam Zoman Chol b'chaveru. The favorish ribs the Torah l'tashlumin. Do they also get malchus?
No.
When they get tashlumin, they're patur from malchus. Means it works both ways. Usually, you get malchus and not tashlumin because usually malchus is more chaver. But sometimes you get tashlumin and not malchus, right? Malchus poteris mamon. Ulefamim mamon. Poter Malkus. Meaning, it's not about X being above Y. It's not about X excluding Y. It's about not getting two. So if you don't get two, obviously you have to pick which one you normally get. Ula says you normally get Mamon. But Yoman says, and we pass like him, you normally get Malkus. But you normally get Malkus and not Mamon. But sometimes the Torah say you get Mamon, and then you won't get Malkus. Because the important part is not that one excludes the other. The important part is that you don't get two. So we have to pick which one, and in most Averas it's Malkus, not Mamon. In some cases it's Mamon, not Malkus, but it doesn't matter, it's the same principle of just not getting two. That's that second piece of Rav Chaim, that's his main point, and then he goes into a lot of details, that to illustrate that it's not just happening in different cases, it's two totally different types of dinim. One is about something excluding something else, something overshadowing. Misa overshadows Mamon. Misa doesn't overshadow Malkus, they're close. Malkus doesn't ever shatter Mamon. They're both on similar levels. There you just can't get two. Now let's see the nafkamina. This I'm going to erase. Right? If in your notebook you can go down. I'm just going to pretend under the board comes the top of the board. Right? The now if we had a Mebus strip I could also write that. But okay. The
what flick at the bottom says go to the top.
Yes. What's the nafkamina? What's the nafkamina? I remember. What's the nafkamina? The nafkamina says we're playing. What's the nafkamina? Here we have one, two. So says Reb Chaim, what's the nafkamina between one and two? A, you can call it a nafkamina, whether it goes one direction or two directions. Right? Unidirectional or bidirectional. But what's a nafkamina? He wants to say the nafkamina is Shitas Reb Yochanan Neged Reish Lakish. What's the Shita Reb Yochanan Neged Reish Lakish? It's based on the two dinim. This first din applies even b'shogeg. The din of that overshadowing, that Misa overshadows Mamon, that Misa just kicks Mamon out of the arena, that's Tana Bechizkia. Bein b'meizah, bein b'shogeg. If we're dealing with Misa, we don't even talk about Mamon. When we're in the level of talking about Misa, even if we talk about Misa and end up not doing it, we don't discuss Mamon. Because that's, again, this only works in this one unidirectional, right? That's Misa just overshadows Mamon. We don't look at Mamon, we're looking at Misa. Over here, it's not a matter of overshadowing. We can give one, not the other, we can give the other, not one. It's just a matter of not having both. So what does he say? He says this, according to Rabbi Yochanan, only applies if you actually get the onesh. That's about not getting to onshim.
Again, he doesn't mean whether you practically get it, meaning if you happen to not have a Bezdin in your town, that doesn't make a difference. It means whether if you went to Bezdin, you would get it. Right? In this case, he says that, what do you mean? This is a matter of not getting two punishments. Not that one overpowers the other. You just can't get two punishments. Okay, so you can't get two punishments. If you actually want to get Malkus and get Mamon, because there was Hasra, you wouldn't get both. But if you're a Shogig and you're not actually getting both punishments, then it's no problem. Right? But it doesn't apply to Shogig. The Shogig. And Reish Lakish says, no, this bin even, or not even applies, but applies even, perhaps, that this bin also applies even b'shogeg. Now, let's tie this back. What Reb Chaim is saying is that the only way to understand the machlokes of Reb Yochanan Reish Lakish, and I'm not saying the chiddush, I'm just saying over Reb Chaim now, because Reb Chaim's pash pshat in the Gemara, according to everyone but the Marsha. This Reb Chaim's, I mean, it sounds very brisker, but it's pash pshat according to everyone but the Marsha. If Yaakov will believe it, most people disagree with the Marsha. I mean, lots of people agree with the Marsha. I'm open-minded. So he says the only way to understand Reb Yochanan Reish Lakish is based on Sveidinim. Reb Yochanan says Din 1 applies to Shogeg. That's a matter of overshadowing. It overshadows even Shogeg. Din 2 is a matter of double jeopardy. If you're in jeopardy, then you can't have double jeopardy. If you're not in jeopardy, then it's no problem. And Reish Lakish says no, both Dinim apply even Shogeg. Technically, the lashon would be Reb Yochanan says Kidei Rishaso, a Shogeg is not a Risha. Risha is only if you're convicted in court. Reish Lakish says even a Shogeg is called a Risha. And Rav Yochanan says, I know it sounds like Rav Yochanan's just bringing drushes that Chayvei Malkus b'Shogeg are significant. What he means to say is, I'm bringing drushes that Chayvei Malkus b'Shogeg are significant, and therefore plug that in Kedei Rishaso and show that Kedei Rishaso applies even b'Shogeg. So says Rav Chaim, very pashut. Says Rav Chaim, you want to know... Actually, here, let me change these to Aleph and Bet, so I won't be confused with A and B. You want to know what the Svara of Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish is? Very pashut. Rabbi Yochanan says Din 2 doesn't apply to Shogeg, and Reish Lakish says Din 2 does apply to a Shogeg. That's what they're arguing about. Everyone agrees in this case that's Din 1. Asan applies even to Shogeg. How do we know? Because the Tanit Vechizkia. Tanit Yechizkiah teaches us that it means Ason Mamash and not Din Ason. Through Tanit Yechizkiah we learn Ason means Ason Mamash and not Din Ason, that even means Rishon overpowers money. We're doing Kedei Rishaso. Right? What is Din 2? It's just called Kedei Rishaso. What's the Machlokes? Reb Yochanan says Kedei Rishaso only applies to Mezid, not to Shogeg. Kedei Rishaso applies to actually getting the punishment, not to Shogeg. Reish Lakish says, no, Kedei Rishaso applies even to Shogeg, even to being potentially high of the punishments, theoretically high of the punishments. Now we understand. If they're arguing whether Kedei Rishaso applies to Shogeg, then they have to argue about two things. About Malkus and Mammon and Misa and Malkus. In our Gemara they say, Rabbi Yochanan says, Kedei Rishaso doesn't apply to Shogeg. Chayvei Malkus, Shogeg, and has to pay money. Reish Lakish says, Kedei Rishaso applies to Shogeg. Chayvei Malkus, Shogeg, doesn't have to pay money. And they likewise argue in Chulin. Rabbi Yochanan says, Kedei Rishaso doesn't apply to Shogeg. Chayv Mis b'Shogeg is still Chayv Malkus. Reish Lakish says Kedei Rishaso does apply to Shogeg. So Chayv Mis b'Shogeg are potter from Malkus. Basically, if you want to hold like shot of the Gemara in Chulin against the Maharsha, who says we don't hold like we were in Chulin, if you want to hold like we were in Chulin as the Rambam does, then you have no choice but to say Reb Chaim. They're arguing about splitting Kedei Rishaso into Tzvei Dinim. And one din applies to Shogeg, the other din is whether they argue whether it applies to Shogeg, and that's why there's two nafkaminas. Since there's two cases of Kedei Rishaso, they argue about Malkus and Mamon, and they argue about Misa and Malkus, but they don't argue about Misa and Mamon, because that's din one. That's Pashat Pshat, I know it's a fancy Rechaim, it's Pashat Pshat in our Gemara.
Yeah, how could you say that
Shogeg is a Risha? You would have to say that Kedei Rishaso, that's a good question. So you would have to go back to something we discussed earlier. Either he's saying that means if Beis Din judges one Risha, they can't judge another Risha. Or he would say, it's not a din in Beis Din's judging being Marshia, it's a din in your Rishas, that if you do something that's two Rishas, it only counts as one Rishas. Now, says Reb Chaim, this also answers the kasha on the Rambam. He also answers some other kasha with that I have in the Makor sheet.
So before you get to the Rambam again, so now in Chulin, I just want to get back to that Dover Acher. So you're learning it differently in Ksubas than you're learning it, the same words, you're learning it in Ksubas one way and you're learning the Chulin another way?
No, I mean, Rashi does, forget Rashi. Pashup Shah
Chulin is what Rashi does.
Right, Pashup Shah Chulin Dover Acher means Mamon. They're just saying that the original piece they argue about is Misa and Malkus,
right,
similar to Dover Acher and Mamon. They're equating Malkus and Mamon to Misa and Malkus. This was the question that you asked. You could say Dover Acher means the same thing in both cases.
Yeah.
Dover Acher means Mamon. That's the second part of the Moran Chulin. The first part of the Moran Chulin, they're arguing about Misa and Malkus.
It's only the Tzichusa that introduces the Mamon.
Precisely.
It's like the Tzichusa was written.
But it's not just Tzichusa, it's an Ozdu L'Tamayu. It's an Ozdu L'Tamayu, right? Meaning that's Tzichusa, right? The Gemara says the same Machlokas, right? Tzichusa, but it's Ozdu L'Tamayu. The Gemara says the Machlokas about Misa and Malkus, about Zoros Mismano, is the same Machlokas about Dover Acher, about Malkus and Mamon. That's what the Gemara says there, which only works according to Reb Chaim, not the Marsha. Not that it doesn't work for Marsha. Marsha doesn't want it to work. Now let me just end with one last thing, Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim has a kasha on the Rambam. What's Reb Chaim's kasha on the Rambam? Here's a stira. This ties back to what we saw all the way back on Daf Lamed. Does Kinnat Rabbani potter you from Tashlume Me'ila? Right? Does Kim Levit Rabbine? How do you say potter? Okay, we'll have to do this again. Sorry. I'm not willing to write potter in English on the board. I have my limits. Am Kim Levit Rabbine Poter Mi Tashlume Me'ila. So, if you remember the Gemara in Pesachim, what did the Gemara in Pesachim say? It says, the guy who eats hektish of chametz on Pesach, according to Rav Yochanan, according to Rav Nechunya ben Akaneh, right? According to Rav Nechunya ben Akaneh, you eat chametz, your chayiv kares, then your pater in tashlumi me'ila. That's the Gemara in Pesachim. Right, and then we have the whole deal of that Tosos, which we're not going to have yet. So, the Gemara in Pesachim says that Kares, obviously, lefi Rav Nechunya ben Hakaneh, is poteres mi tashlume mi'ila. Tosa said no problem because tashlume mi'ila is mamon and kares pati for mamon. However, the Rambam in Hilchos Mi'ila, what does the Rambam say? Hilchos Mi'ila, moel b'mezin, loke umeshali. You should know there's one achron who says he didn't mean loke umeshali. He meant loke umeshali. He meant if you get hamahasra, you're loke. And if you don't get us right, you're Mishali. That's not Pashup Shat. All the Achronim reject that. That's he did. No, Pashup, he says what he meant, and he meant what he said. Right? He says, Loke Mishali Tashlume Me'ila. Meaning, Malkus Eina Poteris Mi Tashlume Me'ila. Now, of course, you already see that I'm setting Reb Chaim up here. This is a famous steer in the Rambam. Reb Chaim didn't think of the steer in the Rambam. Every single achron worth his salt tried to solve this steer in the Rambam. Right? I mean, some of them said the same thing, obviously. Everyone dealt with this steer in the Rambam. It's not a good steer in the Rambam. How do you answer the steer in the Rambam? So there are many answers that were given, although I don't have time for all of them now. If anyone remembers, this is not the Nodi Yehuda's answer. But based on the Nodi Yehuda, the later achron point out, he could have given a better answer than he did. Remember the Nabi Yehuda said Rabbi Nechunya ben Akaneh has a different type of Kinnui Rabbani than the Chachamim. His Kinnui Rabbani works on the Shemayim level. The Chachamim's work on the Bezdin level. He says, Tashlume Me'ila is only the Shemayim, so only Rabbi Nechunya ben Akaneh potters, the Chachamim don't, and that's the answer to the Stira. Okay. The Shittim Gubetzes in Ksubas says, it must be Exiris HaKosav that Malkus doesn't potter. Kares does, but Exiris HaKosav, Malkus doesn't. Slight problem is there can't find this Xeris Akasav anywhere. It says, the Rambam must have had Xeris Akasav. Think the Rambam would say it was that Xeris Akasav? Okay. There are many answers. Or Sameach also has another answer. There are many answers to this question. I'm not going to go through all of them now. Some of them are in the brackets and the chorus. What is Reb Chaim's answer? According to Reb Chaim, it's Pasha what the answer is, the way I set it up. What is Reb Chaim's answer? Reb Chaim says, Tashlume Me'ila are funny. It's not that you owe the money because it dini mamonis you owe the money. It's that, like Tosus calls kapara a little. It's that he says like this. In most money, let's say I rip John's shirt, I owe him the money and therefore I have to pay. Tishlumi Meila, I don't owe Hekdish the money. He says, Goni ben Hekdish is potter. Controversial, but let's take his word for it. Mazik Hekdish is potter. That's less controversial. Right? Mazik Hekdish is potter. I don't owe Hekdish the money. Hekdish is not a person. I know Hekdish is God, but God owns the whole world anyway, so who cares? Right? He says, in again, if I rip John's shirt, I owe him the money, and therefore I have to pay. He says, no, when it comes to Meila, I have to pay. It's a mitzvah to pay. And therefore I owe the money. But it's a mitzvah to pay. It's not a chov. It's a mitzvah to pay. That's his chav. It's like dina. It's not exactly dina shamayim. I mean, Bezdin will enforce it. But Bezdin won't enforce it because I owe Hekdish the money. Because Neba, poor Hekdish, now is missing money. No, Hashem hurts him loa. It's that I have a chiyuv to pay to make up for the affront to Hekdish, to change my attitude towards Hekdish. And he brings Rayas, he says, that really the reason you have to pay for Me'ila is not because of Dinei Mamonis, not because of Chovelu Mazik, not because of Gneva Uzela. It's because of a special din of a mitzvah Sashulei Me'ila. He says, what does he say? He says, Tashlume Me'ila equals mitzvah, not Chov. Does Kimla and Ramni pat you from mitzvahs or only Chovos? Yes?
Why isn't it just like a normal knas versus normal? I think we have in general knas versus
tashlum. Okay, that's an excellent question, but the answer could be that knas also, it's a chov. After all, the point of knas is not for you to do something good by paying a knas. It is that you owe the person for wronging him. Maybe you owe him more than you... I'll say this. I don't know if you want me to answer technically or philosophically, but philosophically the answer is a knas is to punish me for what I did wrong. It's still within the realm of punishments. Oh, this is one of the shulchan. Tashlum Me'ila is not a punishment for what I did wrong. It's how I can make up for it. It's a way to make up for it. It's a way to improve my spiritual status. A way to fix my spiritual status. That's very different. So, what does he say? He says very pashut. He says, din one poter mikol tashlume mamon. Din two poter me onesh mamon. Avalo mi mitzvahs. Tashlum. Says Reb Chaim, you could answer Steer in the Rambam with his with it's not his Tvekinim, it's before his Psukim. And the other Nafkamina is Tashlum Me'ila, right? Which are not that I owe the money the punishment, but rather it's a mitzvah for me to respect Hekdish to the extent that I disrespected Hekdish. Therefore, what does he say? He says this, Poter from Tashlume Me'ila. You want to know about the Gorm Sach? And the Gorm Sach was Kuris. Remember, Kuris is Misa, it's Asom. He calls Kuris Asom. Remember, we learned Asom from Binyamin, or we learned Kuris Shalik Avisha Shalachem, right? He learned Kuris is Asom, that's Din 1. When it comes to Din 1 means when we're dealing with money, when we're dealing with your life and death, we don't think about money. We don't even think about any kind of money. Not about punishments of money, not about mitzvahs of money. Basically, it overshadows all money. Misa overshadows all money. I don't care what kind of money. All money is overshadowed. We exclude money. However, this then, no. Poter. Make onesh mamon. Avalo. Me. Mitzvahs tashlume me'ila. Kedavish also, he says, what is that based on? The Gemara in Makos Daf Yud Gimel says Kedavish also is referring to Risha Hamasur LeBezdin. They want to know, how come Rabbi Chani ben Akana wouldn't base himself on Kedavish also? Why wouldn't Kedavish also mean Kuris? Say, no, Risha also is Risha Hamasur LeBezdin. That's based on this Gemara. Sorry, we'll make ourselves a little star.
Makos, Daf Yud Gimel says, Birisha Hamisura Lebezdin Hakosov Medaber. Since it's late, I'm not going to open up. But Risham Sur Lebezdin Medaber. You know, Teshlumi Me'ila is not Risham Sur Lebezdin. Maybe Bezdin will make you do it because they make you do mitzvos. But it's not a punishment of Bezdin. It's just a din of mitzvah of Mammon. So therefore, that's how he answers up the Rambam. There are other answers to the Rambam. None of them are super pashut. He says, that's how he answers the Rambam. Din one pashut from all Mammon. I don't care what kind of Mammon. It's just overshadowed. We left the realm of Mammon. We're in the realm of Misa, not the realm of Mammon. Din two is not about realms. It's not about higher and lower realms. It's about not Bezdin not giving you two. Here, Bezdin didn't give you two. Bezdin gives you Malkus, and then the mitzvah to pay Mammon. Misham Asur LeBezdin, a custom of Daber. It's only about what Bezdin puts on you. That's also according to Rabbi Yochanan, why it doesn't apply to Shogeg, right? It doesn't include Me'ilah. So that's a great answer to the Rambam. He also used this Agav to answer a question on Tosos. The problem is the question on Tosos wasn't so good. Tosos says that, if the two punishments come together, like Adam Zoman falsely accused you of Motzi Shemra, Malkus and Mammon, then the Adam Zoman should also get Malkus and Mammon. But the Gemara Sanhedrin said that even Zoman accuse you of Misa and Mammon, they don't get Misa and Mammon. So Chaim answers Tosos brilliantly. That's where he gave his question. He says, din of Misa and Mammon, that's din one. Misa overshadows Mammon, I don't care where it came from. But Malkus and Mammon is the din of the Rishasso. If the Malkus and Mammon go together, because they're the same Risha, then they only count as one Risha. It's a brilliant Chaim. The only reason I wouldn't put too much truck in this is because it's not really a good question in the first place, as Rabbi Akiva Eger points out. That line in Tosos is a leave it to Rav Meir, who says Loka Mishalim. So therefore, it's not a stira. Rav Meir says Loka Mishalim, that's why you get both. That's not a stira. So again, if it was a good question, Rav Chaim would have a brilliant answer. It's not a good question in the first place. He says Loka Rabbi Akiva Eger, I think, but it's not really a good question. Okay, this is the Yesod of Rav Chaim. Okay, we will pick up next year with Daf Lamed Ham and Aleph going into the Shakla Vitari in the Tosos, yes? But okay, here is the challenging Besora for some of us. But the next year will not be on Thursday. Those of us, okay, the official Kollel members know the schedule a little. We have a Gemara Bechina coming up, first half of the year, what the Gaon calls semester. The first half of the year, Gemara Bechina is coming up. 3 weeks from today is the Gemara Bechina. Ray Miller and I got together and decided instead of playing the game that we play every year, saying you have 2 weeks to Hazar and then the Bechina, and then at the last minute we push it off for another week, we're just going to say 3 weeks till the Bechina and not push it off by another minute. Or allow taking later, any of those other things. But 3 weeks from today is the Gemara Bechina, so now we're going into Hazara period, Chavtes through Lamed Dalet. So there will not be, the next year will be January 22nd. The next year will be January 22nd.
What year?
2016. The next, January 19th will be the Bechina. So, I'm sorry, I just have one more important announcement, but let me put this on the board. Do we have room? Yes. January 19th is the Bechina. January 22nd is the next year, for those of us who build our schedule around the commuting. The one thing that I would add, that I've added every year, that people have heard me say, is that I've heard people from more yeshivish places say they don't like the fact that in YU they have bechinas in Torah because it makes us a little shema, and I hold exactly the opposite. Adarabah, if you don't have bechinas, then you're learning Shalom Shema. Yeah, I learn when I'm in the mood, I don't learn when I'm in the mood, I take it seriously, I don't take it seriously, no accountability to myself or to Hashem Yisbarach, I just do whatever I'm in the mood to. If you have bechinas, that makes it Lashma. Because that means that you really take the opportunity to chazer and make sure you understand it. And I personally, when I was an undergraduate in Princeton University, I took Rav Rosenzweig's Gemara finals in YU. Anyone who's been to YU knows that that is an undertaking. Because Lashma, you don't understand things if you don't chazer. And not only you're not going to remember them if you don't chazer, I don't know if you remember them, how long you remember them if you do chazer. It's because the way Gemara works, halacha is the same thing, the way Torah Shavuot works, is that this is what's called a hermeneutic circle. And
in literary criticism.
That really means that it goes in one ear and out the other.
Is that you have to understand each prat, you have to see how it fits into the whole. To understand the whole, you have to know all the pratim. So that makes it very difficult when you learn something the first time, whichever way you start, you don't get there. And that's why Chazar is so important. You learn all the pratim, you put them together into the klal, and then the klal, you go back in the pratim. Certainly, I remember when I was back in Rav Rosenzweig's shir, I understood everything he said in shir. But I didn't understand how it came together until I hazard, because then you look at it in the big picture and you see how it comes together and you see how it relates to each other. So I would urge everyone to engage in Chazara, whether they are chayiv to take the Bechina or not chayiv to take the Bechina. Everyone is invited to take the Bechina. There's no discrimination based on age or academic status. Everyone's invited to take the Bechina if they so desire. So I wish everyone a fruitful Chazara, and those who only come for Shir, maybe I will see you again on January 22nd, or come on January 19th and take the Bechina. Wearing milk Bechina and my Torah Bechina.